Good morning, Forest Hill family, friends, and folks joining us for today. My name is Michael Tolercio, pastoral intern of Forest Hill, and I am excited that you're with us as we look at 2 Chronicles today for day number 575. 2 Chronicles 8 is before us today. We are making our way through 2 Chronicles, and we have chapter 8. Let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at the passage. Father, thank you that you have gifted us with an opportunity to hear your word today. A passage of scripture which gives us details about a period in time, the history of your people, Lord, that seems a bit removed from us now, but we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see how it is relevant for us, and especially in light of who your son Jesus is. We are intending to walk with him through the word. Would you enable us to see how he is walking with us as we read his word today? Would you change us by it for his glory? In his name we pray. Amen. All right. 2 Chronicles 8. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the house of the Lord in his own house, Solomon rebuilt the cities that Hiram had given to him and settled the people of Israel in them. And Solomon went to Hamath-Zobah and took it. He built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities that he built in Hamath. He also built Upper Beth-horon and Lower Beth-horon, fortified cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalath and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the cities for his chariots and the cities for his horsemen, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land of his dominion. All the people who were left of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of Israel, from their descendants who were left after them in the land, whom the people of Israel had not destroyed, these Solomon drafted as forced labor, and so they are to this day. But of the people of Israel, Solomon made no slaves for his work. They were soldiers and his officers, the commanders of his chariots and his horsemen. And these were the chief officers of King Solomon, 250, who exercised authority over the people. Solomon brought Pharaoh's daughter up from the city of David to the house that he had built for her. For he said, "My wife shall not live in the house of David, king of Israel, for the places to which the ark of the Lord has come are holy." Then Solomon offered up burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord that he had built before the vestibule, as the duty of each day required, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. According to the ruling of David his father, he appointed the divisions of the priests for their service, and the Levites for their offices of praise and ministry before the priests as the duty of each day required, and the gatekeepers in their divisions at each gate, for so David, the man of God, had commanded. And they did not turn aside from what the king had commanded the priests and Levites concerning any matter and concerning the treasuries. Thus was accomplished all the work of Solomon, from the day the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. And Solomon went to Ezion-Geber and Eloth on the shore of the sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent to him by the hand of his servants ships and servants familiar with the sea. And they went to Ophir together with the servants of Solomon and brought from there 450 talents of gold and brought it to King Solomon. God has a peculiar love for his people. And one of the ways that we know that from today's passage is that he's given them Solomon, who, as he is depicted in chapter 8 here, is a godly king. A king who is actually blessing God's people. At the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the house of the Lord, he begins to build his own house. And the difference between the way that the house of the Lord was built and the way that his own house is built is that the house of the Lord was built in part by Hiram, by the person whom Hiram sent, Hiram-Abi, but also by the people of Israel. The people of Israel were all there, willing and ready to serve the Lord by building the temple together. But when Solomon builds his own house, he doesn't rely on the people of Israel to build his house in the way that they were ready and willing to build the temple of the Lord. He does not put them to work on his own property. Instead, he enlists the people who were the descendants of those whom the Israelites were supposed to drive out from the land of Canaan when they began to occupy it. The Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and so on. And so there's a distinction being made between the people of God and the people of not God. All of those who are not God's people, who are in the land, who are actually supposed to be driven out initially, but who are still there. There's a distinction between God's people and those who are not God's people. And Solomon very clearly is honoring that distinction and not putting the people of Israel to forced labor to build his own property. Solomon's a blessing to the people of Israel. He's a blessing as well in how he honors the Lord by not allowing Pharaoh's daughter, who is his wife, to reside in the house of David. He says in verse 11, "My wife shall not live in the house of David, king of Israel, for the places to which the ark of the Lord has come are holy." So apparently here, the ark of the Lord had come into the house of David at some point previously, and Solomon recognizes that where the ark of the Lord has come, that's a holy place. And his wife is probably, being the daughter of Pharaoh, not a very holy woman. She's probably not living in accord with the way that God would have her. So Solomon, even though he has this wife who he's married probably for political reasons, being the daughter of Pharaoh and him wanting to make peace with Pharaoh, he recognizes that there's a distinction between the people who worship the Lord and this woman who probably doesn't actually worship the Lord in practice. And so he separates out this wife of his from this place, this house of David, that he considered holy because the ark of the Lord had once been there. And Solomon continues to bless the people of Israel by obeying the Lord. In verses 12 down to 15, we see that he is following through on the commandment to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the Lord. We read about that altar, that really big altar that was built by Solomon in the courtyard of the temple. We read that there was another altar that was made inside of the temple for all the burnt offerings. Solomon is seeing to it that these offerings are being made according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts. Everything is being kept. This blesses the people because it's by obeying the Lord that the people of Israel will be blessed, that they'll be continuing to prosper. We'll read all about the prosperity that God gives to Solomon in the next chapter, but take note that all of the prosperity that God grants to Solomon is a blessing to the people who live under Solomon's reign. You've probably heard that phrase, a rising tide lifts all ships, lifts all boats. That was true. You live under Solomon's reign, who's so blessed and has so much abundance and so much wealth. If you live as one of God's people under him, you're going to be blessed as well. And so part of the way that Solomon is blessing God's people here is he's keeping the commandments of the Lord. That's what we want to do as well. We want to be a blessing to other people in the world. If we want to be a blessing, we'll trust the Lord and keep his commandments. Jesus's in particular. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And his commandments are all about loving God and loving people. What better way to bless people than by loving Jesus and keeping his commandments? And the passage continues for us here. Verse 16, "Thus was accomplished all the work of Solomon from the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid until it was finished." So the house of the Lord was completed. Solomon did everything that he was expected, required of the Lord to do. He did it to completion. He's not the only one. He was really only pointing us to one who would do it in an even more comprehensive way. Because Solomon could only build a physical house. Jesus could build a spiritual house. Jesus could provide something greater than Solomon could. He could provide salvation. He could provide the kind of blessing for God's people that Solomon couldn't, that Solomon could only point to. And I love this, the way that this passage ends here, with Solomon and these men from Hiram going to Ophir and collecting up this gold, 450 talents of it. And a talent was 75 pounds. So that's about 33,000 pounds of gold that Solomon collects or is given as a result of these expeditions. So you have Solomon completing the work of the temple, building it as God had told him to. And then what does he happen to encounter? What does he happen to be blessed with as a result? 33,000 pounds of gold. And if Solomon is a picture of Jesus for us, then it's just a little reminder that what Jesus accomplished for us yields the greatest blessings, way greater than what we read of in this passage here. Much better than gold. Jesus secures, by way of his loving sacrifice for his people, through his resurrection, he secures a worldwide harvest for himself. Greater than gold that goes into a temple, Jesus has secured a people for himself, purchased a people for God for eternity. And you and I get to be those people, part of that people, if we trust in him today. Let's thank God that that is part of his plan, that that's at the heart of his plan, to bless his people in that way through his son Jesus. Let's thank him. Father, thank you that you've given us just a reminder in today's passage of what it looks like for a king to trust you. It looks like blessing to the people who serve that king. And that's us. And we thank you for that reality, that we can be those servants. We can be those subjects to the greater King Jesus. Thank you for Jesus' constant obedience to your commandments, Lord, even greater than Solomon displayed in today's passage, Lord. Solomon offered the sacrifices, but Jesus was the sacrifice that made us right with you for eternity. Thank you, Lord, that you are pleased with him. And you are pleased with us because you are so pleased with him and because we are in him. All of this is your doing, Lord. You made it so. You planned it, you accomplished it, and now you've applied that work to us, O Triune God, and we are so grateful for it. May we live rightly in accord, following after our true King in the ways that he has provided. May we love him and so keep his commandments for us to love you, O God, and to love people with the truth. May this be our desire, and may it be what we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Glad you could join us today for this look at 2 Chronicles 8. Hope you'll be able to join us again as we continue looking at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles tomorrow with chapter 9, the kind of the high point in the book of Chronicles. Till then, have a blessed day in the Lord.